The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Some people, I think, are worried whether or not the decision, whether or not how to handle the case, will be made on political grounds, not legal grounds. Can you guarantee to the American people, can you direct the Justice Department to say Hillary Clinton will be treated as the evidence goes, she will not be in any way protected?
I can guarantee that. And I can guarantee that not because I give Attorney General Lynch a directive. That is institutionally how we have always operated. I do not talk to the Attorney General about pending investigations. I do not talk to FBI directors about pending investigations. We have a strict line. And always have maintained it, previous
so,
president.
Just to button this up.
I guarantee it.
You?
I guarantee that there is no political influence in any investigation conducted by the Justice Department or the FBI, not just in this case, but in any case.
And she will be...
Full stop, period.
And she will be treated no differently?
Guaranteed, full stop. Nobody gets treated differently when it comes to the Justice Department, because nobody is above the law.
You know, I heard him say that. And I wanted to believe, I really want to believe our president when he says that. And, you know, of course, what happens with politicians, we have learned, you know, Scott, that we have to really, you know, pay attention to what they're saying, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, I mean, any other politician. And I think this is why maybe Donald Trump is resonating with people, because even as shocking as some of the things that he says, at least he's putting it out there. There's no bones about it. But here you hear the president on this issue, and I gave him some credit for his position, as we spoke with Dr. Gorka last hour about his position, you know, about terrorists and how to deal with them, and about going to a ball game afterwards and that. I understand that. I think that we needed, you know, some more support of that. But in this here, we've had things in the past, like with Lois Lerner. You know, you're going to tell me that politics is not involved. I mean, Washington, D.C. reeks of politics. How do you say that politics is not part of the, you know, part of the calculus here? Does that make sense? Or, you know, that, you know, for him to make that statement and just say, you know, it's, you know, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously we've been lied to before a lot. But it was nice to see him come out. As far as stances goes, this is probably the most direct that he's been on something regarding Hillary.
Yeah.
So, which is nice, which, like you said, that's why Trump...
Well, he was being interviewed by somebody who wasn't already in the tank for him. I mean, you know, we got Chris Wallace. I mean, this is, I think, the first time in two administrations, I think, that he's been on with Chris Wallace, and you know, and even the president during the meeting had made reference in a general context that the Republicans have their TV station, and Chris Wallace goes, "Well, you mean Fox News?" You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that this is if he was doing this the whole time, the climate of politics would probably be a lot different.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got to practice what he preaches. You're exactly right. I mean, he says, "Well, people are talking, you know, at one another, or they're not talking with one another." That's my interpretation. I believe that's what he intended.
Well, we've played the clips where he, you know, his biggest regret, and then we've also played the clips where he takes no hand in it. He says, "Well, I haven't added, you know, I've done nothing to condone this or to add to the negative tone." Well, I mean, if you're not doing anything to stop it, you're not doing anything. You're basically just as bad as people that are doing it.
Exactly. Well, this is the first step. And I mean, you know, and how many years did it take to do this, you know, to begin to open up and talk about these things? So it's kind of hard to believe, especially this particular issue. I did have a problem about no political influence. Well, at least he's on record now. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop me.
Hey, sometimes we need to stop, have a Selah moment, and meditate and consider what, you know, where we're at and what we're doing. Often when we continue to rush forward, that's when we get ourselves in trouble, no doubt about it. Experience has taught us that time and again. And here to cause us to stop and reconsider some things is our next guest at just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with us, and we've got a former Navy SEAL Commander, Rourke Denver, is with us, and we're going to talk about his latest book, Worth Dying For, A Navy SEAL's Call to a Nation. If we ever needed to hear a clarion call like this, it is for a time such as this. Commander, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, Commander Rourke Denver has led more than 100 SEAL missions, and he tackles the question that has emerged about America's past decade at war in terms of what makes a hero, why men kill, the real elements of leadership, and how battlefield experience can elevate the rest of us. Let's break that down and consider each one of those as you address those in the book, Commander Denver. Let's talk about, you know, what makes a hero.
Yeah, I think one of the things I wanted to highlight in Worth Dying For is that it's easy to label the soldier, you know, the warrior, the teammate that jumps on a grenade to save people's lives, a hero. And I don't think that's undeserved. I think that's absolutely appropriate. I also think those of us that serve feel that we were thrust into these moments. We were kind of prepared for that, or hopefully we're prepared for that moment, and that more than anything, we were just doing our job. And that heroism exists when anyone throws their hat in the ring, in my mind, to serve others and to help others. So when you're thinking of others before yourself, when you're thinking about a cause greater than oneself, that should be heroic as well, and doing your job well on a very basic level. So I just want to expand the concept of heroism to meet, you know, more everyday moments, because I think that's genuinely true.
You know, when you consider heroes and you read about their life stories, and that oftentimes these heroes, they didn't do it for the sake of being a hero. They just couldn't help themselves. It's just, you know, it's one of those things you can celebrate about the people in your family, people that you may know that are there, that are willing to take a bullet for you at the drop of a hat. They just instinctively, you know, they hear problems when most people would run away from them. They go toward the problem.
That's right. That's right. They you know, advance when others would recede, and they move forward when others would go backwards. It just is. I think heroism, and I mean this sincerely, lives inside of all of us, and it's mm-hmm. moments that bring it out. And again, it doesn't have to be on the battlefield. I think there's everyday heroes that are gonna, you know, win the day today in just basic acts of service and thinking of others. And if you do that, I think we'll just be better for it.
What do you feel is more important? I mean, you know, it's like in certain cases, you know, if it's your child, somebody in your family, you know, you see a lot of instinct and you see the sheepdog, as Chris Kyle would call them, the sheepdog come out in them and their head's on a swivel and they're protecting. And so we protect that which we value. And that's some of the things that we need to stop and consider is that, you know, what are we valuing these days?
No, that's right. I'm with you 100%. And I think that leads to something else I write about in Worth Dying For, that idea of service on a universal level. I mean, I think those of us that served in military had a real good path to take to kind of give back and serve others. I put a chapter in there about universal service, about mandatory service, particularly for young folks. I think if I put in a year of service for everybody, and you know, plenty of countries have done it with military, you know, conscripted military service or compulsory military service. I think it'd be great if, as a country, we just said, hey, everyone's going to serve. Everyone's going to give a year to something other than themselves. It doesn't have to be military. It could also be, you know, an aid organization or a non-government organization or something that's going to give back. I'd like to see it here within our shores because that's who I'm most concerned about right now. But you finish high school or you defer from college, you've got a year of service on basically a subsistence wage, hopefully away from your hometown, and you go give back to folks. And I think it would be transformational for our country.
Well, Commander, the reason you say that, and I agree with you, I've said the same thing, because there is just an incredible amount of value in getting outside of yourself and putting on a service hat, whether, as you say, it's military or otherwise. I mean, they do this in Israel. I just got back from Israel, and there is that mandatory and understood. I mean, we've got kids coming from America, but because of their Israeli, their Jewish roots, they're there with the IDF participating. I mean, amazing.
That's
I spoke with kids from, you know, Boston and Chicago and all around the United States that, you know, came for 2 years. So whether it's a year or 2 years, you know, you have skin in the game. You understand what is, you know, what our forefathers, our founding fathers, what other people along the way have committed to this great country of ours, that it just didn't happen overnight. And it's almost like we need that to serve as a counterbalance to, in some cases, 4 years of indoctrination that has taken place in our university.
That's right. We're in total agreement. And you know, the other thing that's special about that type of service, and again, a real gift I take away from time in the military, is that it's all these disparate backgrounds and socioeconomic experiences and who you are that comes to that shared experience that makes everyone richer. So, I mean, in my SEAL TACO elements, I had kids from, you know, tough neighborhoods from the south side of Chicago, and I had a private school kid from Connecticut, and I had a surfer from California and a cowboy from Texas, and all those folks had to come together and set aside a lot of preconceived beliefs and notions about what this country's about, and we all started functioning as one and becoming one together. And I think this mandatory service or a service year for particularly young folks would do the exact same thing. It's so easy to get stovepiped into one experience in this country. And I think if you even go shoulder to shoulder for a while, maybe get a little uncomfortable with someone that shares a very different background, I just think it would have a tremendous impact on those moving forward.
You know, Commander, you just touched on something that I've been wondering about for a long time, and just this light bulb went on. You know, my dad was in World War II. He was a medic, served in the European theater at the Battle of the Bulge with General Patton. And, you know, and people have asked me, I mean, you know, he raised 9 kids, count 10, you know, including a nephew, but 10 kids. And, you know, we didn't think about being a hyphenated America. We weren't Mexican Americans. We weren't Spanish Americans. We were just Americans. And I believe what you touched on, and we often lauded our great generation, of which my father was a part of. And I think one of the great takeaways is just to your point, and that is that he learned in war that he had to count on people, and it wasn't about their heritage, although their culture did bring, you know, some interesting aspects to the recipe and all. But, you know, when it's a life and death situation and you're watching each other's backs, nobody cares about hyphenations at that point, do they?
No, it's exactly right. It just becomes one force working together to a common goal and often just surviving together. And you're dead on about that cultural inject that becomes such an advantage and such a blessing in those experiences. I mean, imagine if our natives hadn't been part of that fighting force. The very reason we were able to pass codes throughout that war is because nobody on earth could crack a native language that we had indigenous to this country that helped us win that fight. I mean,
well, Commander, we got to go to break. Stay right there. We'll pick it up from there. Commander Rourke Denver on Bill Martinez Live. We've got more coming up.
Losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the new Phenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the new Phenup because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The new Phenup Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayItLook.com. ILikeTheWayItLook.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
What it takes to see the light.
Martinez live.
I guess we got it now. It's Bill Martinez, of course, at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America, where our conversation with the former Navy SEAL Commander Wark Denberg continues. His latest book, Worth Dying For, A Navy SEAL's Call to a Nation. Commander, the motivation for writing the book?
You know, we're a decade and a half behind, sustained combat as a country. 15 plus years of sustained combat, and I feel, you know, the thinking warrior, the folks that have been in that fight, if they're not in the national conversation and dialogue about how to inform both the public, our leadership, the country on ways to move forward and ways we might be stronger both at home and abroad, then we're in big trouble. So mm-hmm. my intent is to share lessons born out of that time on the battlefield and in our training grounds that might help, strengthen our country.
Well, to your point, there is outside perspective. I'm saying outside the military ranks. The military holds tight ranks for a reason. They're not going to, violate the chain of command and say too much out of order. But we've got, some past military leaders that we highly respect are saying America is very vulnerable with some of the moves that we've made in this last decade.
No, without question. I mean, I don't think anybody would frankly argue that the world has descended further into chaos and we're probably less safe or more at risk than we were at the start of this fight. And I think we were talking a little bit about service in the previous segment. And I think one of the things that's fascinating is the drift away from military service in our political elite. So, mm-hmm. 1971, almost 80% of Congress, but 72% in the House and about 78% in the Senate, were former military members. Mm-hmm. This 114th Congress that exists today is now down to about 18% former wow. military service across both, mm-hmm. which is a staggering shift in experience from the battlefield or from time in a disciplined rank and file structure that helps develop focus and drive and commitment and teamwork away from that in our political elite. And I think, that's a little unnerving with a world that I think is going to be, we may now be a nation permanently at war. And I think if we don't have folks that are informed by the warriors off the battlefield, we're in big trouble.
Well, when you consider how many people have been in the military out of the greater number of Americans, less than 3%? Have served in the military?
I think at this point it's about a half of 1%.
Is it that low, a half of 1%? That's a huge problem. The other problem we have is how do you, when you choose a president and he's had no military background and now he's the commander in chief, how do you put somebody in the number one position? That's like saying, okay, we're going to bring somebody out of college, or maybe now he got a college, we just hired somebody and now we're going to put him up in the corner office. He's now the CEO of the company. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
But I agree. I mean, I think it is not a requirement of the job, but if you look at the lineage of presidents all the way up through current events, there's been much, far more that had military service that didn't. And I think it's tough to believe that someone that had it is not going to be better served than those who didn't.
Well, part of what you're talking about here in terms of understanding, what America is, what our responsibility on the world stage is. And we've walked away, I believe, from that responsibility of leadership, which you call out in your book, Worth Dying For, A Navy SEAL's Call to a Nation. Our conversation with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, brought out in his new book that he just released, is that it is imperative for a country to know its strengths and weaknesses, to understand what its purpose in the grander picture is all about. America says, look, we don't want to be the police of the world. I mean, that's an easy thing to say, but it doesn't mean that you can't stop doing what it was that the rest of the world is looking to. And Dinesh D'Souza brought that out in his movie here a couple of years ago. Imagine what the world would be like if America didn't exist. I mean, it's a pretty scary thought.
It's very scary. It's very scary. I feel like we've been at the forefront of kind of shaping international affairs and certainly, I think, leading the charge against, frankly, pure evil. And to abdicate that position and just step away from it is very, very scary. And I think we'll reap very, very bad reward if we don't get back in the fight on some level soon.
It is a timing issue, as you alluded to a moment ago, Commander, that, you know, we've got to make the right choice, the right decision at the right time. We've missed some opportunities, and as a result of missing that, we're going to have some making up to do. And whenever you make up, that's going to require more force, more resources, more commitment of time. And we have to do that in a situation where the sentiment and the prevailing attitude here in this country is one of disengagement rather than engagement.
That's right. That's right. No, it's much easier to stay on top of the mountain than to climb up it. I think when it comes to just the way you project yourself as a nation and kind of your position in the world is very, very important, and it's not particularly subtle. The fact that I'm an outdoorsman, I love to fish and hunt, be out of doors, be out in nature, and the one thing you learn very quickly is apex predators do not get attacked. Nobody goes up and scratches a grizzly bear. The grizzly bear can take a nap whenever it wants because nothing is going to mess with that animal because it knows the results if they do. And we have gotten away from that. There was a time when you knew if you poked us, you aren't going to like what happened afterwards. And I think right now you're seeing our nation's enemies say, hey, we can do little cuts and hits and even some brazen attacks without any results. And when there are no consequences, you know, it is apparent as well. If there's no consequences for the behavior, then the behavior gets worse. And we're seeing that right now.
Well, Rourke, I only hope that based on experience and what we're seeing right now, because I believe that much of our military expression has been based on theory. And, you know, you get people in back rooms and, and I hate to keep doing this, but it just seems that it happens in the world of academia more than anywhere else. And they sit back in their coffee clutches thinking, you know, about what the possibilities are. Well, guess what? You've got an actor on the main stage acting out those theories. How's that working out for you?
100%. I'm just a results-based person, and I think that is born out of the fact that, you know, as an athlete my whole life, and if your plays are working, you stick with them. If they're not, you got to change them. And then coming off the battlefield, you know, if you do the wrong thing, the consequences can be catastrophic, and so you adjust from that. All our lessons we say are written in blood. That's how we learn and move forward, and it feels like this country has gotten away from those lessons written in blood, and I think we're seeing the results.
Rourke, you were, as a commander, you were on SEAL Team 3 with American Snipers Chris Kyle. Share a little bit of experience and what made Chris Kyle so special.
You know, Chris and I were at the same team, which is a big organization. We were not in the same tactical element, so we were in different kind of functional units. But he's one of the genuine legends of the battlefield, and he represents a category, and I talk about that and Worth Dying For, the snipers that are really, you know, the vanguard for forward advancing, you know, units. They take tremendous risks to protect a greater force. They put themselves in tremendous harm's way to protect larger forces moving through and to hopefully, you know, eliminate threats to the rest of the force. They take it at tremendous personal cost. Not only the fact that they're in harm's way, but, you know, that kind of intimate experience. And I write an entire chapter in Worth Dying For about killing. And I think the reverence and respect that goes along with taking another life, in particular, another human being's life. And snipers are very close to that fight. They take a tremendous emotional toll doing their job. But they're a unique breed, a unique skill set, and we'd be far lesser without them.
Well, we got about 20 seconds here. Let's wrap this up. A worth dying for, a Navy SEAL's call to a nation. Commander, what do you want America to get from your book?
I just want you to take away that, you know, heroism exists in all of us, and you can choose to throw your hat in the ring and serve. I think universal service, if you think of others before yourself, is going to make us stronger as a country, and to just take some time and make good decisions for who's leading this nation.
And your book's available through Amazon, the usual places, right?
Oh, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's wherever books are sold, and Amazon will deliver it right to your house.
Well, Navy's former Navy SEAL Commander, Rourke Denver, thank you so much for being with us, Rourke. All the best to you.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Listening to Bill Martinez live. MartinezLive.com.
Hey, we come to you 3 hours every day now, ladies and gentlemen, from 9 to noon Eastern Time. Good to have you along with us on over 270 markets around this great country of ours and around the world via shortwave on WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee. Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour, our conversation continues. And, I don't know, what your thoughts were last night about, the Chris Wallace interview. And Chris Wallace really hammered the president in terms of Merrick Garland. He wanted to address, the issue there of the replacement for Judge Scalia. And, when I say hammered him, I mean, he stayed on top of him to say, okay, is this your choice? I mean, regardless of, Hillary Clinton's influence, is this going to have it? Are you going to stay with Judge Garland all the way through to the very end of your administration? It's a guarantee. Guarantee, no doubt about it. He is committed to Merrick Garland. He believes that it's his job, to nominate and present to Congress. It is their job to evaluate and give him an up and down vote. And let's talk about what his position has been in the past, because I thought Chris Wallace was very fair in presenting that in the past President Obama himself, in his own words, which he put up there on the TV, said, look at he tried to block Alito's nomination. And many Democrats in the past have said, hey, there's you know, we got a problem with even considering somebody as far out in some cases as 18 months. And the president brought up the scenario, says, hey, what happens if we get to the point that we say, hey, we're going to wait for 4 years? Well, you know, come on, you're taking it too far. It's not been the case. I mean, president has been already, I think, fairly well established as to, you know, the length of time that it's been taking through the nomination process. You know, and unfortunately, and as we discussed before, the Supreme Court has been a political vehicle. And here we are. This is why we've got a 4-4 split for all intent and purposes right now with an empty chair since the passing of Judge Scalia back in February. And, you know, we're, you know, hoping upon hope that we can get somebody the likes of Judge Scalia, if that's even possible, if the mold was broken after him. And can we possibly see another, you know, justice on the Supreme Court out of the fabric and the mindset of one Justice Scalia? We could only be so blessed. You know, our conversation last week with Kevin Ring about Scalia's court, a great book and a great read. Let me tell you, you just appreciate Scalia's brilliance all the more as you read his decisions, you know, even when he was on the winning side and even when he was on the, you know, on the losing side of an argument. The way he articulated the position and the way he challenged not only the other justices, and so, a brilliant book that I highly recommend. Hey, with us right now, we're fortunate to have Susan Fricio with us. She's the chief congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. And, Susan, always good to have you on. Whenever we can get you on, you're such a busy woman. I see you on TV all the time. And, oh, yeah, that's right. You still have work for the Examiner to do as well.
That's right. Well, good morning. Thanks for having me
on. Well, good to have you on. I wanted to get your perspective. The president made it real clear he's going to stay with Merrick Garland all the way to the end of his administration.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't surprise me. I think it would have been a lot more shocking if the president had said, you know, I don't know, signaling he didn't think Garland was a good enough pick, that maybe Ms. Clinton could pick someone else if she becomes the president. So that doesn't surprise me at all. I think that at this point, though, the Senate is probably going to take a pass at least until the lame duck session, which is when I think, although there's a commitment by Republicans to not take up Garland's nomination at all, I know there will be at least a lot of talk if Democrats win the White House, and coupled with that, if Republicans are able to take control or lose control of their majority, and then the Democrats are going to be in the Senate leadership in January. I think that will at least give the Republicans pause to think about whether or not trying to move Garland will prevent, perhaps, in their view, a more liberal choice if the Democrats in the White House and Democrats are controlling the floor in the Senate, because that's exactly what you would see happen. I think
it would definitely give credence. It would give rise and credence to a more liberal justice if the people voted in a liberal, just as with President Obama. He took the election. He says, hey, look, elections have consequences. The people have voted. They want my progressive ideas, and I'm going to make them happen. And so a vote for, you know, let's say, you know, for all intent and purposes, Hillary Clinton, being as since she's the leader, and, you know, barring anything incredible occurring, she would likely be the nominee for the Democratic, you know, for the Democrats. And, you know, are we, you know, to your point, would we be better off with Judge Garland from Barack Obama, or do we take the chances on Hillary?
Right. And I also think another aspect of this is the pressure will be on Hillary Clinton if she's elected about what to do about Merrick Garland. Is she going to just cast aside this nominee, this pick by her predecessor? But if she doesn't do that, conversely, she'll be under a lot of pressure from the liberal base to pick somebody who is more liberal, perhaps a choice that might include women or somebody who is Hispanic or African American. Just another choice might be pushed on her. So there's going to be pressure on her if she becomes the president. And this is all only if she becomes president. Of course, if Republicans win, don't expect any kind of lame duck discussion about Garland. And, you know, you can bet that he's gone by the wayside. And that they'll be waiting for a Republican choice.
Exactly. Well, Susan, initially the Republicans held strong with Mitch McConnell saying, hey, we're not even going to talk about this. And then you had a number of Republicans say, no, you know, we'll have a conversation. And then since then, what we had two or three this past week take a giant step backwards and say, eh, it's okay. We're going to go with the party on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening is, first of all, the people who are calling, who are now sticking to their guns and saying, let's move the process forward, are moderates. One of them is in the tough re-election fight, Mark Kirk from Illinois. The other is Susan Collins, who you would typically expect would take a more moderate approach and say, let's at least have hearings, because they're from states where the constituents were, are calling for that.
Mm-hmm.
At least some constituents are calling for that. But whenever you hear other people chime in, say Jerry Moran of Kansas, he got a lot of pushback from his conservative base who were saying, you know, what do you mean you're calling for hearings and a vote on this guy? And there was such drastic pushback, including from outside groups who were subtly threatening to launch a primary challenge against him. He quickly backed down, and of course he also got a talking to from the Senate GOP leadership, and they all kind of came out with a joint statement saying that there really is no need for hearings. So people who back down are ones who are facing a lot of pressure from conservatives in their home state. I mean, this is a real political issue. For conservatives,
right,
this is the issue of the day, you know, holding the line on the Supreme Court, because this, of course, is a decision that will affect decades of decisions on the court. And so they feel there's no wiggle room there. We don't even take a step forward on this. We don't budge on this, because once you start holding hearings, that opens the door to a vote. And once you open a vote, you've got the possibility of people being talked into voting for this guy. And of course, it's a 60-vote threshold for a Supreme Court nominee. The Republicans control 54 votes. Of course, there's almost no way that Garland could get 60 votes at this point on the high court nomination anyway. But I think they don't even want to have the discussion, because it really upsets the base. They just want this thing shut down for now, and they're hoping they win in November so that they can make their own choice.
Susan, are you hearing any names from the Republican side as to who would be their optimum choice to replace Scalia?
Well, you know what, I think they're going to, this is going to be really interesting, basically, when decision time comes for either party, because there will be such a push for the most conservative of choices.
Yes. Well, Susan, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Susan Fritscho, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Washington Examiner on Bill Martinez Live. Susan, thank you so much for being with us. 19 before the top of the hour right now.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings, it's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
This report is brought to you by Iroko Pharmaceuticals, LLC. A new nationwide survey sponsored by Iroko reveals that only 3 in 10 Americans who experience pain feel that their symptoms are completely controlled. And only half of pain medication users feel confident that the medications they take are the safest and most effective for their pain symptoms. The survey also showed a lack of awareness and understanding about commonly used non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, including the risks associated with them. The Understanding America's Pain survey shows that 47% of those surveyed do not know what NSAIDs are, and only 27% of medication users were aware of FDA recommendations regarding NSAIDs. Dr. Clarence L. Young, Senior VP and Chief Medical Officer of Iroko.
The FDA recommends people use the lowest effective NSAID dose for the shortest duration possible because of the serious cardiovascular and gastrointestinal risks associated with these medications. If you are in pain, it's important to talk with your doctor about which pain management option is best for you.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
Well, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Ever wonder why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? I look at some people on this stuff and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. Careful with green vegetables, they must know best. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA Plus. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. That number again, 855-305-8326.
Send your emails direct.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen.
NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America. Always good to hear from you. Get involved in the conversation. We've got to go head-to-head with the culture. The culture is saying, hey, look, we need a moral compass. We've lost our way here. And, you know, I take that as a kind of a buying opportunity, as they would say in sales and marketing, is that people want to hear from you. So, hey, look, maybe the era of political correctness, though it's dying a slow death, just let it go by the wayside. Because if we're going to get this country united, we've got to have the conversation. I know our next guest would agree with that. Bob Olszewski, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture, Director of Focus's Plugged In Department, which features the popular Plugged In website, PluggedIn.com. Robert, always good to be talking to you. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Bill. Happy Monday.
Hey, it is,
on the show.
Well, it's always good. Hey, you're there in Colorado, and a little bit of controversy, just sidebar before we talk about some of the movies and culture. And it's kind of a cultural thing anyway. It has to do with the voting confusion of, you know, of Colorado. You know, Trump's going, hey, what happened here? But Ted Cruz's camp understood that there were rules, and maybe a little bit goofy. You know, people might think that Colorado is doing its own thing there. But, you know, you're kind of faced with a situation where at some point you're going to have to vote for voting, I guess. Huh? Is that the way to understand it?
Well, I hope actually that that's what we do down the road. Now, it's too late in the process to change the rules for this year. Everybody had the same rules. They knew about them, or if they could dig in, they could have figured it out. But not only do we caucus here in Colorado, but we have a confusing caucus in that we don't announce who won on the caucus night. In fact, it seems like it's about 3 weeks after the fact that we finally did, and we did this past Saturday, and Cruz came away with all 34 delegates, and I'm sure the Trump camp is crying foul. But one thing that Cruz did very well is he got in and had some people on the ground that understood the rules, and they got involved in the process, and it's paid off for the Cruz camp. So
yeah. Well, the caucus became confusing ever since they legalized marijuana, I guess. I don't know. Did that have any
probably true.
That's any effect on it? Hey,
which was one of the dumbest things. Yeah. I hope no state says, oh, Colorado did it, we should do it. I hope they say Colorado did it. And most people, even the people that voted, say, oh, this was dumb. Yeah. I hope that's what they see, but they probably won't. They'll just say, oh, let's go with Colorado.
Well, that's the thing. That's the nature of bureaucracies, is that, you know, we love the idea that the states are an experiment. They're laboratories, you know, for the country.
And but it's so important when states say they're going to lead the way on something that we get good evidence and good reasoning as to why we should continue on with something or get away from it. But, of course, we know when budgets and everything and money is involved, that becomes more the issue. But surely I digress when we talk about things political. Hey, let's talk
well,
movies.
And I don't mind, but a little bit. Once you get the genie out of that bottle, it is really hard to put them back in. Even when you realize you've done something dumb and you voted something dumb, it's hard to get that genie in the bottle. I don't think you will.
It's true. I know on the federal issue, it's like I think Ronald Reagan said the closest thing to eternal life in the bureaucracy is the bureaucracy. Is a government agency.
It goes on forever and ever.
It just keeps on going. I mean, you know, when they dig up, parts of this world, along with baby diapers, they're going to find, bureaucratic agencies from Washington, D.C. coming up with the baby diapers. And they just don't disintegrate. So I don't know. Hey, so what happened at the movies this weekend? A lot of R-rated stuff over there, which you know, I guess last week was the week to vacate all these R-rated movies from the shelf. So there wasn't a lot of great offerings for family-friendly opportunities.
No, and Hollywood typically does this about four times a year out of my 52 weeks. And I know that firsthand because, as you know, Bill, I do a recorded movie review that's played on 903 radio stations across the country. It's a great privilege. And I try to pick a winner film, take a Batman versus Superman, something that people are talking about, and record it. Well, last week it was like, okay, so we've got The Boss, hard R, Hardcore Henry, hard R, and then originally we had a horror film that was PG-13, but I don't like to do horror films because most people don't care, even if it's PG-13. And then they pulled the horror film on Tuesday of last week, leaving me with nothing. So I ended up, for the recorded, had to go back to a couple weeks and do My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, something I don't like to do, but you have to go with what Hollywood gives you. So, yeah, it wasn't a good week. For families that were looking for something brand new in the theater, it was not a good week to go to the movie theater. You basically had to look up at the marquee and go, okay, something we haven't seen that's been out a week or two, what is it? And so, anyways, there are things, which is good. So,
well, Miracles from Heaven still hanging in there, huh?
Well, I am very happy. It top 10 again. It's now been out 4 weeks. It is now past the $50 million mark. In fact, it's almost $54 million, which is huge. I think Jennifer Garner being on in the cast was a absolutely brilliant move. I'm glad they got her. She's a great little actress, and she did wonderful. And there is something about the word miracles that gets our attention. There's something about the word heaven that gets our attention. So there's a lot going, and the Christian community did quite a bit to rally behind us, and it's doing pretty well. And then we also have another faith-based film in the top 10, number 7, God's Not Dead 2. It made an additional $4 million. It's up to 14. I think that's a pretty good for 2 weeks at the box office. I think it's a little bit behind the first one, so there's probably people in that camp that are a little bit disappointed, but I think if they take a bigger 32,000-foot view and look at it, I think they have to think, compared to other faith-based films that are similar, $14 million in 2 weeks is pretty doggone good.
Exactly. Well, we know the future of faith-based movies is very bright as it continues to outperform. And, Hollywood's made a move. I mean, and of course, you may say, for purposes of greed, but who cares? We're getting, some representation out there. And I find it quite interesting. This is in spite of all the Christian persecution that's been the order of the day in our culture.
Yeah, and, it started really in 2004 with The Passion of the Christ, but very, very earnestly in 2014, the year they dubbed Year of the Bible, and then last year they didn't call it that, but it was another Year of the Bible. And this year, we've had quite a few faith-based films already. The Masked Saint, Cage No More, we had Risen, we had The Young Messiah, now Miracles from Heaven and God's Not Dead, and pretty soon we're going to have a new Ben-Hur coming out this summer. The Shack comes out this fall. There's been a lot of controversy around the book, The Shack, but it's in the faith-based space. We'll see how it does. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully, it's going to be interesting to see because of the controversy of The Shack. It'll be, I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. I know you are, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, the number one film in the nation as we sit was one of those hard R that I mentioned, The Boss, mm-hmm. Melissa McCartney, made $23 million. It's sad to me, but, you know, she's got a reputation as being a funny person. But I love the way Paul Acey, who works for me on my team, came to a close in his conclusion on it. He says, "The Boss is not the foulest of Melissa McCartney R-rated comedies. That's a hard bar to clear, after all. But in every other respect, its quality, its message, it's the worst I've seen. If I was giving this Boss a performance review, and I guess technically I am, every needs improvement box on the sheet would be marked. Letter of reference? Ha! What The Boss really deserves is a pink slip. You know, it's a film that got a mere 1 out of 5 for family friendliness. You know, it's sad to see it number one. Not a surprise. Oftentimes, you know, there's people in America that'll buy enough tickets to bring in $23 million, but it's sad.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting that you have an R-rated movie that involves all the kids. You know. That they did in this type of script and scenario there. I mean, it's like, you know, how difficult would it have been to make it PG at least? I mean, especially with all the kids involved.
See, I always say that. I'm trying to think. I don't think there's ever a film that demands profanity, for instance. You know,
right.
For years, back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, they were able to make films without harsh profanity. Somehow we don't think we can, but we could. Mm-hmm. We actually could make great films without the nudity and sleaziness. And you know, Star Wars 7 that came out on DVD this past Tuesday is one perfect proof that we can. Here's a film that's gone on to make gazillions of dollars, and it's been out 4 weeks, and it'll do great on DVD, and it didn't have a single harsh profanity, didn't have any nudity, didn't have any sleazy dialogue, didn't have, you know, it had a little bit of violence, but even that wasn't gory.
Mm.
And we gave it a 4 out of 5. It's like, folks, take notice. You don't have to do The Boss. You don't have to do Hardcore Henry. You know, do a film like Star Wars 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this is a thing where, you know, the people need to speak up, you know, to, and of course they have been speaking up with their, you know, with their pocketbooks and their credit cards, because this is where it all counts. I mean, you know, here's The Boss. It only really did $23 million. I mean, that should tell the studio something here that, would they have been better served and had a better return on investment had they opened it up a little bit? I mean, $23 million, and that's on almost 3,500, cinemas. You know, big screens that they were on last week. I don't think that says a whole lot.
Some independent researchers have found time and time again, there are some exceptions, but time and time again, films that are rated PG-13, PG, mm-hmm. and even those rare Gs are getting rarer and rarer all the time, do better as a rule at the box office than R-rated films. There's a few exceptions, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
But as a rule. So just if you're in it to make money, and Hollywood is in it to make money, wouldn't you want to make the PG-13 version of The Boss? Wouldn't you want to make the PG-13 version of Hardcore Henry? I think you would.
Without a doubt.
They would do better.
Exactly. Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family. Thank you, Robert.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract. From within a few days, I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.